And I have a message here I've entitled True Worship. True Worship. Psalm 66, I recently was asked about our worship here at the church, and what kind of worship do you have, you know? And I try not to be too sarcastic, but I try to be nice and honest about it. But I said, well, we keep it pretty traditional pretty conservative. We're a pretty conservative church, not to the extreme, but we keep it. We don't have the drums and we don't have the, you know, electric guitars and stuff on stage and the flashing lights and the smoke and all of that. And they understood that, but they were asking about the worship we have. And I explained to them how we do use the hymnal and particularly keeping to those songs. And I said, we really keep to just worshiping according to the Word of God, to the book. And that's always safe, isn't it? But people ask, what is your worship? With the advent today, as you know, of so much confusion about worship and what worship is. When you think of worship, I don't know about you, but I always think of this, you know, worshiping and doing this kind of stuff. And by the way, there's nothing wrong with raising your hands to God and praising Him in that. But I know, as you know, that we can take that to the extreme, can't we? And we've seen churches like that. I was in a church one time many years ago, and I kid you not, they sang songs for literally 45 minutes. How many have been in a church like that before? 45 minutes. And then a guy stood up. I don't know if he was the assistant or a youth pastor or something. He stood up and gave a devotional literally of 10 minutes. 10 minutes. And they said, all right, thank you. Close your Bibles. Let's pray and go home. And I thought, whoa, you know, we'd just been standing for 35 minutes and then sat down for another, I don't know how many minutes there of singing. But I think about that when I think of the word worship. We need to come back, obviously, to the Bible and see what the Bible has to say about worship. Psalm 66, a wonderful psalm written. Notice what it says, make a joyful noise unto God, all ye lands, sing forth the honor of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say unto God, how terrible art Thou in Thy works. Through the greatness of Thy power shall Thine enemies submit themselves unto Thee. All the earth, notice, shall worship Thee, shall sing unto Thee. They shall sing to Thy name. Now we see here, as we come back to this, by the way, one day every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. The saved, the unsaved, the down and outers, the agnostics, the atheists, everybody, when they see Christ high and lifted up, as Isaiah did, they will bow the knee. And you say, well, I was thinking about this the other day with a friend of mine. I know for a fact, I know he's not saved. And you all have friends like that, don't you? You have friends unsaved. And I started to think, how can I reach him? What can I do? How can I? And the Holy Spirit, as you know, it kind of hit me with, you're not going to do anything. It's got to be the Holy Spirit that does it. It's got to be the Holy Spirit that works, that moves in their hearts. And by the way, when the Holy Spirit works in an individual's life, they will react to it, won't they? And we see that. We must trust the Lord and come back to. He says, worship, worship all the earth. Sing unto Him. Now, we know and understand God created us. He gave us life, obviously. He supplies everything we need in this life, and He sustains our life. In other words, we are completely dependent upon Him, whether we know it or not, whether we know it or not. This is a simple truth. It is true if you believe it. It is true if you don't believe it. Since we are totally dependent upon our God for everything that exists and all of our existence, He's entitled to whatever He asks from us. Isn't that true? And I heard a great pastor one time, he said, if there is a God and He does have rules, it'd behoove me to find out what He wants me to do and to do it, right? Well, I don't like what He said. It doesn't matter. And I know that sounds kind of like He's doing this to you, if you will. He's not. He loves you and cares for you. But God's in control. He owns everything, doesn't He? He's all powerful. And it's like the little ant one day walking down the sidewalk and the little boy came up and he put his foot over the ant and he stopped for a minute and said, no, I don't want to crush that ant. And the little ant looked up and went, ha, 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 I told you. You know, the little boy went, that's not God, by the way. Okay, you know that. But that's the power He has, isn't it? People go, I won't do what God tells me to do. I don't got to do what He tells me to do. If you followed what He told you to do, you'd have a much, much happier life. You'd have a much better relationship. If you have parents and they tell you what to do, right? Much better relationship if you do what they tell you to do. Don't say amen. Okay. And you see the true worship, right? Now, we're dependent upon God. And now He shows us and asks us to worship Him. He deserves this worship. You know that. God asks us to worship Him. He desires worship. He's pleased in his own heart, the Bible says, when he receives this worship. He's placed in us a desire to worship. We're religious by nature. Some express it more than others, but all are religious by nature. Now we know that. We're religious. You worship something, somewhere, at some time. Everybody does. I don't worship, I don't believe in religion. Heard a guy tell me that. I don't believe in religion. I said, oh, okay, well, you worship something. You worship your job, you worship your tools, you worship your music, you worship something. You follow through with that, and so God's placed it here in our hearts. Now we see this, and I want you to notice with me. Let's go over now to the book of John chapter 4 and see what Jesus has to say about worship. John chapter 4. So we saw the Old Testament. Now we're going to move ahead. Wonderful book, and I encourage you, if you haven't read through the book or Gospel of John recently, you're going to want to do that. Read through it again very slowly, methodically. Take a paper, a notebook, and write out as you're reading through the book of John, because it'll greatly encourage you. John chapter 4. Let me see here. Let's go to verse 19. John 4:19. The woman saith unto him, Sir, I perceive that thou art a prophet. Our fathers worshipped in this mountain, and ye say that in Jerusalem is the place where men ought to worship. Jesus saith unto her, Woman, believe me, the hour cometh when ye shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. Ye worship, you know not what. We know what we worship, for salvation is of the Jews. The hour cometh, and now is, when the true worshipers shall worship the Father in spirit and in truth. For the Father seeketh such to worship him. God is a spirit. They that worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. Now, clearly he's speaking, as you know, the woman at the well there. She's confused about her worship. She's confused about what to worship. And Jesus says, I am he. You know not what you are supposed to worship or what you believe. And he shows to her that God is spirit, and we worship him in spirit and in truth. Isn't that wonderful? Now, we see here worship of the true God is of vital importance to each of us. It obeys the command of God to worship him. It meets the need of our heart. It pleases God. God wants our worship before he wants our service. Now you know that. He wants our worship before our service. How many people do you know? How many churches do you know? And I've been guilty of this many, many times in my life, of service over worship. Oh, serve, 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 and God's pleased. No, you worship, spending time with him. Okay, let me skip ahead here. First of all, notice a couple things. What is worship? We already talked a little bit about what God desires, but worship. One theologian put it this way. He said it is natural to worship. It is the feeling and expression of high adoration, reverence, trust, love, loyalty, dependence upon the higher power, human or divine. It is a necessity to man. To these sentiments, to a greater or less degree in every man, something or somebody, real or imaginary, appeals, and that something secures his worship. Worship, we know, is as old as humanity. We go all the way back to the beginning, right? Worship something. Nimrod came and they wanted to worship something. We've got to worship something. We've got to have something to worship. Those three Hebrew children, they were put out there on the plain, and Nebuchadnezzar said, you will bow down to this God. And they said, no, we won't. We're not going to bow. We're not going to. He called them forward and they said, now Lord said not to do it. And if he does deliver us, then great. If he doesn't deliver us, then we're still not bowing down. We know he's in control. And we see here that the world today does the same, pushes us to worship something other than God. Other than God. I was just heard recently a commercial about a certain sports channel. I won't say the name, but a sports channel. And they said, we need something to believe in. What about sports? We need something to believe in. Sports. Isn't that a god to a lot of people? Sports. Sports. We got to watch sports, sports, sports. And they're all bowing the knee today. And we see here, sports, sports, sports. And you think about it, there's a god. The world's pushing us to worship something or someone other than God. Now, as we see this, first of all, notice the Greek word translated worship here is proskuneo. It's used 60 times and means the kiss to the hand towards another person. I'm glad we don't do that anymore, aren't you? You know, you go in the Middle East and they do that. They kiss you on the cheek, you know. And I'm glad we don't do that either. But it's a reference towards someone, you know that, to fall upon the knees, to touch the ground with the forehead as an expression of profound reverence, kneeling to do homage, to make obeisance. And so we see and understand. It's clearly, by the way, the translators got the word right. We understand what it means. Number two, our English word, reverence, offered a divine being or to an divine being or supernatural power. So expressing our love and adoration, that's what worship is, and that's what we do in the church. Number two, let me say this. What is the correct object of our worship? We must not worship other gods. You know that. Exodus 20, verse 2 and 3. I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage, period. Thou shalt have no other gods before me, period. It's simple as that, isn't it? Other gods, lowercase G-O-D-S. And that's pretty clear in Scripture. We know what that means, don't we? Little gods. Crafting, Isaiah and Jeremiah both talk about them crafting an image, an idol with their hands, doing things of that nature. You know that. Paul came there to Ephesus and came to other cities in particular and did what? They, oh, the goddess of Diana, you're taking away our income and all of that. Worship, worship. And he held on, Paul did there, and tried to preach to those people what true worship is. Now, let me say this, and I'll try and be very kind about it, but I do not believe that this stuff in most of our churches is the correct form of worship. You may disagree with me, but I don't believe that. There's nothing wrong with raising hands. There's nothing wrong with singing songs to God. But we must be very careful. I heard a song recently, You Raise Me Up. How many have heard that song? You've heard it. You raise me up, do-do-do-do-do-do-do. Great song, and I like it. But it's watered down because there's no reference to Jesus Christ. Now, people, oh, you know what he's talking about. Well, yeah, but the world doesn't. I'd guarantee if he put in there Jesus Christ instead of he or you, that song would drop to the bottom of the charts, don't you? It's a blending of song. It's a blending. World, church, world, righteousness. Now, again, you say, oh, Pastor, you're splitting hairs on things. I don't believe I am. I think we need to be very careful about that. Very careful. I do not believe that's true worship. I don't believe that kind of stuff is true worship. And I love those churches. Now, let me say this on the other hand. I and we as independent conservative Baptists have a nasty habit of being Jesus paid it all to him I owe, you know, real stiff. And someone does this, we tackle them, you know, no. we have a habit of that, don't we? We're a little too conservative. We sometimes could express ourselves, I'm talking about myself, a little more than we do. Okay, so again, there's a fine balance in all of that, and you know that, okay? Now, what is the correct form of worship? Well, obviously, first of all, not worshiping other gods. Now, you say, well, of course, I don't have an idol in my home, okay? Let me say again, you may have some things you bought at Hobby Lobby or some little knick-knack store that could not be proper. They sell those little Buddhas, and not at Hobby Lobby, but those little Buddhas and those little Chinese dragons and things like that, and you're going, okay, you're splitting hairs again. But I'm saying just be careful about some of that because we want to be very cautious and careful. Worshiping the true God. We're too lax, I think, sometimes in our own home. But correct form of worship. We must not worship other gods. Letter B, we must not worship before images. Now he continues in Exodus 20, verse 4, thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, stars, moon, sun, planets, okay? Or that is in the earth beneath, that's animals, trees, other things, or that is in the water under the earth. You know what that means, fishes and other things. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children, unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandments. Now the context of that, you remember, is that they just came out of Egypt, which Egypt had tens of thousands of gods. The god of the sun, the god of the moon, the god of the stars, the god of the fish, the god of the shark, on and on they go. And he said, I want you to come back. They're saying, well, God is really harsh here. No, he's not. He's trying to get the nation of Israel back to where they are. The book of Exodus is God getting the people out of the world, out of Egypt. The book of Leviticus is getting the world out of the people, isn't it? Bunch of rules. God's all about rules and standards. No, he's not. He's trying to get you to come back to realize the one true God. Now, true worship. We see that. Let me say letter C, we must not worship angels. The Bible's clear. Colossians 2, verse 18, let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Now, worshiping angels, worshiping images, again, the Catholics especially have a habit of doing so, and you know that. I won't get into that, but they worship those things. Again, coming back to this. Do we have a guardian angel upon us? I don't know. Okay, the Bible's not clear. Do we have an angel that you should worship? Obviously not. Okay, letter D, we must not worship men. You know that. Many, many in our own denomination worship men, don't they? I have done it before, and I know maybe you have accidentally, or you didn't mean to, but it happens. You worship a man. Worship, worship. I had a friend, and he loved this prominent pastor. He was a great pastor, leader. Had a church of like 20,000 people, something like that. Prominent. Loved the guy. And when the pastor fell from grace, he stayed with him. Oh, they're accusing him of things, and we got to stay with him and support the brother. And the evidence was obviously clear. Okay, it came out in court and everything. And you think about some of that, we got to be careful. We must not worship men. Now, again, coming back to, and I know you folks don't do this, but we must not worship entertainers. We must not worship sports figures. We must not worship those things. We must not, not allow our children to fall in love with certain things like that and with other things. Okay, family, friends, self. Obviously, self is often on the throne of our hearts. We must not worship men. You know that. Let me hurry here. We must not worship things. The Bible is very clear. My English teacher used to say, don't use the word things. I want descriptive words. Remember that? She was kind of mean. But don't use things. I want to know description. You know, the Bible uses the word things. I like it. 1 John 2:15, love not the world, neither the what? Things, right? Things of the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Clearly, clearly, the things of the world. That encompasses so many things, doesn't it? So many. Things, all kinds of stuff. Car. I was driving this morning, and I don't know if anyone saw that Chevy truck for sale over there. Did you see that thing? It's an old, beat up work Chevy truck. Did you see it too? Did you see it? And I drove by and I went, ooh. And my wife said, uh-uh. I said, well, hey, I'll make the decisions here, okay? I saw that. Well, that's a nice truck. I like that truck. All right. You know, you think about it, it's easy to do so. I'm not bowing down before it, but my heart can go. And God says, I want your heart, all of that. Trust Him. By the way, when you trust God and worship Him, you know He'll give you those things, doesn't He? Delight the Lord, what? He'll give you the desires of your heart. The desires, not the needs. Lord, I just need food. No, the desires. I would sure like to have that, Lord. Now we think about this. Let me continue. We must not worship things. We must not worship men, angels. But we must worship the Lord our God. Matthew 4:10, then saith Jesus unto him, get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, thou shalt worship the Lord thy God. Notice that, thy God. And him only shalt thou serve. Him only. O come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord, our Maker. Psalm 95:6. And as we read, Psalm 66. So number three, as I move ahead here, what is the proper conduct of worship? Now, this is what I want to get into this morning and see how far we can get here. And I thank you for listening so well. What is the proper conduct of worship? God instructs us in His Word how we are to worship Him. He's made it much simpler for us today than for those that were in and under the law of the Old Testament. There are certain criteria which still must be observed. Worship is a matter of reverence and awe. God wants intelligent worship from our hearts that's according to His Word. He will accept no other. Now, did you hear that last part? Intelligent worship. I heard a song just this week, and the song goes, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I mean, it's going on for like 3 minutes. That's all the song was. And I thought, well, that's good and wonderful, but what else? What else? You know, we got to have intelligent worship. By the way, the best way to worship the Lord is to memorize Scripture and quote it to God. Psalm 66 would be a great one for me. I need to do that. It'd be a great one. And I could sing that to Him. I could praise Him in that. What's the proper conduct of worship? First of all, God is holy, requires holiness in His worshipers, clearly. Psalm 29:2, give unto the Lord the glory due unto His name. Worship the Lord in the beauty of His holiness, of His holiness. Psalm 99, exalt ye the Lord our God. Worship at His footstool, for He is holy. He requires holiness. Have you ever tried to come before the Lord in prayer and something wasn't right? And you go, are you listening, Lord? You know, are you there? Why do you ask that? Because there's something there. There's something in between. And Jesus said to be cautious, careful. Holiness. Coming before Him, Lord, prior to me praying, Lord, I ask that you forgive me. Guide me. Let her be. God is to be feared when we worship Him. Truly. Fear. Now people say, well, the word fear in the Bible doesn't actually mean falling down in fear like you're going to die. It actually does. A lot of it does. Not all of it. You know, he says in fear means reverence. But a lot of it is fearful. You remember what happened to Isaiah when he saw Christ, when he saw God high and lifted up? What did he say? Lord, I'm glad you came. I got some things I want to ask you. What's he say? It says he falls on his face. And it says he's fearful. He was going to die. He said, woe is me, Lord. I'm an undone man. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm in the midst of a nation of unclean lips. Lord, forgive us. You know, that's what you get when you fall before God. When you fall before the Lord Jesus Christ. You remember Peter came as he was summoned to do to the centurion. And the man came out of his house when he saw Peter. What did he fell down? And Peter said, get up. I'm just a man. Don't worship me. Remember when John in the Revelation was up, caught up? And he fell down before the individual he was talking with. And the man said, get up. No, don't bow before me. Don't do that. I'm just a man. Just a man. So clearly we'll know what to worship. Who to worship? Very fearful. God is feared, is to be feared when we worship. Feared. I believe today in a lot of our churches, the fear is lost. The fear is lost. Yes, God will give you the victory. Yes, God is for you. Yes, God is, and most of the songs today are like that, aren't they? We love that. That's great. But I think we lost a lot of the fear. We lost a lot of the reverence. When a child will do what you ask him to do and they will obey you, but they do it with a bad attitude or they do it with a disrespect, that's what bothers you, doesn't it? Yes, they took the trash out, but they got a crummy attitude. And so we think about, where is your heart today? Let me wrap it up here and we'll see if we can continue next week. God is truth. He's to be worshipped in spirit and in truth. As we see in our text in John 4, we see when we worship God in spirit and in truth, there will be joy and happiness. But the worship service is not a party. It's not a party. It is not the entertainment of the flesh. Ephesians 5:17, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is, and be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. We see here, it's not entertainment, it's not a party, it's reverent. We see here next, if God requires a public assembly for worship, He will. He requires it. We assemble together. Hebrews 10:25, 24:25, we've been through that before. And then next, God deserves our very best. Let me conclude here. We do not offer to God whatever we prefer and decide to give Him. We must consider His preference. Again, as I said in the beginning, if there is a God, He has rules, He's in control, you better find out what He wants you to do and how to do it and do it. That's what you'd do with your boss, wouldn't you? What do you want me to do? Want to show up at this time? You want me to do this, dress this way, go here, do that? I'll do it. What does He prefer? Why? Because He's writing your paycheck, okay? We see here, there's things which delight Him, there's things which He permits, and there's things which are an abomination to Him, okay? Three areas. Let me say it again. Delight Him, He permits or allows, and there's things which are an abomination. An abomination. A couple verses here I'll hold off and read for next week. But we're going to get into it. What does He deserve? He deserves our best. He deserves our best clothing. He deserves our best behavior. He deserves our best music. He deserves our best handling of the Word. We'll continue next week with some of this. But worship, what is true worship? And a lot of people, I've said this before and I'll say it again, and I was telling this to Pastor Adams, I think it was Pastor Adams, in town. I said, if we dropped our standards tomorrow and we brought in the band and we did the lights and we did all of that, we pumped up the music and I got up with a flowery shirt on, you know, a Hawaiian shirt. Nothing wrong with that, by the way. But I'm just saying, that kind of style, I told him, I guarantee you, we would double in size. Easy. Easy. Because people are looking for that. And we would love to see that and bring them in and get them, see, share the gospel with them and all of that. But I really, truly believe, as I know you folks do as well, I'd rather adhere, I'd rather stick to the Word of God. I'd rather be what I'm supposed to be in this regard. A true worshiper of God. What does the Bible say about worship? I hope that you understand it. Hope it's a help to you as well. But worship God this week. Don't forget to do that. Don't forget. Take time with Him. Pray to Him. Seek Him. Ask Him to lead you. Ask Him to show you what He wants you to do. Some of you had some changes in your plans recently, in your life. Okay, now's not the time to sit back and go, okay, what? No, now's the time to say, God, what do you want me to do? God, what is it that I could be doing right now to be a blessing to this church? This church. Most people come in, if you're like me, and say, what can this church do for me? Oh, there's crumbs on the floor. Somebody didn't clean it. How about you? Why don't you jump in? Why don't you help out? And why don't you say, hey, what can I do? How can I help? How can I be a blessing? Again, Most of this has greatly helped me, and it's for me, but I hope it helped you as well. True worship in Him. All right, let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed tonight. Come back tonight, 6 o'clock. Finally, we get to come back tonight, and I'm excited about that, okay? All right, Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity again, as I say, to be here together. Thank you for allowing us to, first of all, obey your word, and I know that you will bless that, obviously. We ask that you'd help us, Lord, to be true worshipers, really wanting to know what the Bible says about worship. And Father, being right with you, if there's something that we're not doing here, Lord, show us that. If there's something that we're doing that, Father, doesn't please you or isn't biblical, show us that as well. We desire to know and do your will in this church. Guide us and help us, Father. Lead us. We love and thank you, God. Help us today. Guide us as we go our way. In Jesus' name, amen.